902 will be the song of encouragement and invitation following the lesson this morning. Brother Rowe.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We got to look at the time before we start. I know Brown like to set me up 5 minutes late, you know. But it's always amazing to see Christians wanting to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Desire to worship God in spirit is amazing. Also like to acknowledge the visitors. Speak on behalf of the congregation. We are encouraged by your presence, and we pray that we can reciprocate the same encouragement. Our objective for today's lesson, as we start Revelation, going back to it again, you know, I took a break from that. But I want us to remember number four, because this is going to represent the whole world. So when you read Revelation, understand number four is representing the whole world. So wherever you read, whatever chapter you're in, just remember that, attain that. And 12 represent God's people. And the multiples of 12, 144. So you see that, just remember that. Yes? Nothing ever is never going to change. All right? And last time we talked of in Revelation, we talked about the seven seals, but we only covered six seals. I don't know if you guys remember. And the kings and the mighty men and all that was not serving God, they was doing what? Trying to hide from behind a rock, from the wrath of God. That's what we left off at. So there's one more seal that we have to cover. But we're not going to cover it in this chapter at all. And before I start any lesson, I always like to remind us that whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that you are in a spiritual war. So we have to choose a side, whether it's going to be Satan or it's going to be Jesus Christ. So I pray to God that it is Jesus Christ. Yeah. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 12, if we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against power, against rule of darkness in the world, against spiritual witness in high places. Meaning that Satan will do whatever it takes, whatever necessary to take our souls. So we have to be mindful of that. Church, we have to be very mindful of that. That every single day, every single hour, Satan is attacking us. And we cannot fight the spiritual war with a physical strategy. to defeat Satan and his enemy, we need to deal with it with a spiritual fight. Have a spiritual mindset. See, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, say, for our weapon is not carnal, but it's mighty through the strongholds of God. We're pulling down the strongholds of God. We're pulling down the strongholds of Satan, I should say, when we're spiritual minded. Now, how we get to that point, I'm going to show you that, though. But before I show you, I want you to understand this. We got one more objective. Our last objective is to detect a religious blank. We must blank like Jesus and know the blank and the purpose of Jesus. Now, if I'm 5 minutes late, you just blame that on Ryan.
Bring it on song later.
Now, like I said, to be spiritual mindful, our thoughts, we have to train our thoughts, our process, you know, to align with God, that we see Jesus, the right perspective, have the right perspective at all times. See, the Bible tells us that we must have a mind of God, according to Philippians chapter 2 and 5. You see, another thing we have to understand, we got to have humility. Hold on to humility. What that mean? Exhibit humility. Whatever we do, that pride will kill it. That pride is the enemy of Satan. I mean, the pride is the enemy. It's the enemy playground. Meaning that's how Satan has fallen. The Bible tells in Luke chapter 14 and 11, it says, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. So you understand that Satan fell because of that pride. And he's trying to get us to lower us the same way with the pride trap. Number one, to understand this, the fight that we're in, we have to make God the most important in our lives. Right. See, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the first thing we should be on our mind. Making God the most important in our lives. We can't allow any distractions at all. To win this fight, we must be noble. What I mean by noble, Paul preached and taught in Acts chapter 17, 11, he said those Berean was more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the scriptures daily. See, we can't believe everything somebody say to us. You can't believe what I say to you. You need to research the scriptures and prove that I'm right. It's going to help me too, because I don't want to say anything that's wrong. See, the Bible tells us in Galatians 1:8, give us a warning. We are any angel preaching another gospel other than him, let us be accursed. I don't want to be accursed telling you certain things that's wrong. Then you go astray. The Bible says in Matthew 15 and 14, you know, the blind will lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. I don't want to fall in a ditch, I don't want you to fall in a ditch. So understanding that. And when you find out to win this war that we're in, we got to be constantly kneeling in prayer to our God. That's the only one. We need our help. We need his help every step of the way. Every step. The Bible tells us first step 25 and 17, pray without ceasing. I mean continuous praying. And what we have here, what? Thank you. Ah, see, we're almost there, huh? We got there. Two more to go. But we ought to think. Well, to think like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, huh? Mm-hmm. And the privilege to think like Jesus. Just imagine if we all, this church right here, imagine all of us thinking like Jesus. There'll be no division. There'll be no selfishness. Be no hate. No jealousy. No gossip. We'll all be in unity. Exactly how God wants us to be. But to really understand this, I need you guys to, you know how I go.
That's right.
Think like one, Jesus. Two, three.
Think like Jesus.
I might hear that. One, two, three.
Think like Jesus.
We have to think like Jesus. We have to think like Jesus to win this battle. The only way I know how to win this battle is thinking like Jesus. And see, when we think like Jesus, guess what happens? We'll do God's will.
Right.
We will do exactly what God asks us to do and commands us to do. See, when we think like Jesus, we have every opportunity we have, we'll find a way to serve God, serve people. Me telling them about God's word. To think like Jesus, we're going to abide in the ground. We're going to abide in God. We're going to be fellowshipping with God. We're going to fellowship with one another. See, think like Jesus, we're going to love one another. I'm not just talking just a simple love. We're talking about a godly love. We're talking about a love like Jesus did when he sacrificed his life for all of us. Lay down his life for us. We're willing to lay down our life for our brother. That's the type of love we ought to have. That's the type of love Jesus expects of us. See, when you think like Jesus, you'll know the goal of Jesus. You know his goal. And then you align yourself with his goal, and guess what? We're on our way to heaven. And that's the only reason you're going to know that. Here's the problem. A lot of people don't know that Jesus' goal. That's why I listened to the question this morning in the Bible study. A lot of people don't pretend or don't worship God the correct way because we don't know the goal. We lack the knowledge. The Bible tells us, God said in Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. So we, being a Christian, we ought to know the goal. If we know Jesus' goal, Jesus' goal is our goal. We love what Jesus loves, and we hate what Jesus hates. Make sense? So now we're on one more. We're almost there. Might be a record time now, all right? to take a religious blank, you must think like Jesus and know the goal and the purpose of Jesus. So let's find out the purpose of Jesus. Scripture reading was John 11:51-52. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. See, Hilkiah, the high priest at the time, he just wanted Jesus dead. But he didn't understand. He was quoting the scripture. He wasn't understanding that was Jesus' purpose, to die for humankind, every mankind, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile. His purpose was to die for all of us, that we can see in heaven. But he was doing it for his wrong intentions, but he was quoting the right scripture, if that makes sense. So I just want you to keep that in mind. And we're going to put all this together. I just want you to keep that in mind. Because the title of the lesson is, When They Knock at Your Door. This is a true story, too. I'm giving you nothing but the truth. When they knock at your door, are we going to think like Jesus? Like I said, this is a true story. I remember when two Jehovah's Witnesses knocked at my door. Now, I don't know what you got. Some of you might hide, not answer the door, keep the TV up live, go in another room. I don't know. But I was a young Christian, and I ain't know anything. Maybe about two scriptures about Revelation, only two. But all I heard with the preacher, maybe I preached that time, I don't know, but it said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Wow, I hit the jackpot. They coming knocking at my door? They knocking at my door? I'm licking my chops. I don't know how I'm going to go be a church of Christ, but I'm gonna give it. I'm going to shoot it. So what's your problem? My problem was I was thinking like Jesus on this turn. Make sure we get this right. To think like Jesus, there's certain things we have to do. So I open the door. I open the door and allow them to come in. You know what? After a conversation with them, they ain't come knocking on my door ever again. But here we go. He knocked on my door, and I listened to him because I was thinking like Jesus. And I listened to him, and he told me that the heavenly class of 144,000 full is full, meaning that it's going to be impossible, and me, a new Christian, is capable of getting to heaven. This is what they told me. I said, wow, I'm incapable. So why am I going to church and I'm not going to get to heaven? Wow. So they tell me next, well, you still have a chance. You have a chance if you understand that you live a righteous life, you can have paradise on earth. I say, wow, that's not what the scripture says. But nevertheless, they told me a lie, and they really told me I didn't believe a lie to the day. So here we go. Detect a religious lie, you must think like Jesus and know the goal and the purpose of Jesus. So, how will you do that? I'm thanking Jim for volunteering and reading. So we're going to start with Revelation chapter 7. So we're going to think like Jesus. Now, go ahead, Jim, on you now.
Revelation 7 verses 1 through 3. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree.
What the four stand for?
World.
World. Oh, world, huh? Yeah. All right. Number two, yeah.
And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads.
I want you to think now. These are the first time these Christians who have been persecuted heard this. I want you to think what they're thinking in their mind. They were Jews at one time, and they converted to Christians. We talked about the first five books in the Bible this morning. So what they think? They know Hebrew. They know the Jewish. They know everything about Moses. I want you to think about that. He said to put something on your forehead, right? This is not what he's talking about. You see, when he's talking about putting something on your forehead, make a seal, God has his mark too. He's talking about when you're thinking like Jesus, according to Philippians 2 and 5. When you loving one another, according to Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30. When you are the salt of the earth, when it comes to Matthew chapter 5 and 30. When you let your light shine, Matthew 5 and 16. When you are doing the will of God, Hebrew 9 and 15. This is what he's talking about. When you're demonstrating your beatitudes in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, Matthew 5 and 1 through 11. When you're resisting temptation, you have that seal of God marked on your forehead. That's what he's talking about. It's not going to be a literal mark like that at all. You're thinking like Jesus. Every time you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about God. You're making God the first priority in your life. You're walking circumspectly like God designed us to walk. Matthew 5 and 7, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. You're walking worthy of God, Colossians 1 and 10. That's what he's talking about. You're thinking. You're thinking like Jesus. Go ahead, brother.
Revelation 7, verses 4 through 8. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel.
When I read this, I was like, wow, maybe Jehovah's Witnesses are right. It's only 144,000. It says it's in the Bible. We got to continue to read. 144,000. What are you talking about here? 12 mean what? God speak, correct? I wonder what the first century Christian was thinking when they heard this. Keep reading. Let's keep going.
The tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad there were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000.
Wow. 12 times 1,200 is what? 144,000. Made the Jehovah's Witness book, right, huh? Because it says in the Bible. But let's understand something. Those 12 tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel, were they Christians or Jews? And these are the first time Christians. And this is the first time they've read this, the first time they see this. So what they're thinking? They're thinking, oh, I remember when Moses had the plagues. The plagues. They had the plagues, and God put told us to put a blemished lamb over the wall. And he was going to seal us, and we're going to be saved. You understand the mindset they had? I'm trying to make it as clear as possible. Now they had the mindset like this. Now, as Christians, we have the blood of the lamb, a blemished lamb, which is called Jesus Christ. And that protects us, correct?
Yes.
So now they're thinking, oh, I got it now. I'm saved because I have Jesus Christ. All I have to do is continue to be faithful. That's what the author was trying to get them to see. John was trying to see when he wrote this Bible that way. But a lot of times we'll preach and teach that 144,000. That's not what it said, but we continue reading. Let's continue reading. Keep on.
After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number.
Oh, what? I mean?
A great multitude.
Oh, many, huh?
Many.
Oh!
Of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands.
So, Christianity is open for everybody. See, it was just the 144,000. You see, when we think like Jesus and we open this Bible, it just reveals it to us. And it makes it so simple and makes it so easy. All we got to do is continue to read. See, the Jehovah's Witness stopped at that 144,000. But I'd be lying to you to say I continue to read. I just like, man, I go to Church of Christ, right? That's all I was saying. I didn't know the other part. I learned this as I grew, all right? So we keep going. Keep going.
And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing.
Go ahead.
Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
These Christians are going to be those Christians in heaven, those angels in heaven, those elders in heaven. They're going to be rejoicing because they know you're faithful. They know that you've been cleansed with the blood of Christ. These Christians, that's what they're telling. That's what he's showing them. He's celebrating, and that's how he's going to be with us. If you continue to consider being baptized today and before the remission of sin, they will have the same kind of rejoicing over that. Keep going.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?
Oh, God, man. Go ahead.
And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
You're talking about Christians that are going through the struggle, that continue to be faithful. They're going to see their day. You may not see it on this earth right now. You may go through trials and tribulations, and you're thinking God has forgotten about you. But this life is temporary. We're only going to be here for a short time. But eternal life is forever. And this is what we want to be. We want to be in that eternal ever, forever. Not on this earth, but in heaven. With a new body. New mindset, huh? That's what they're thinking of now. Keep going. Now, I want to show you something real quick. I don't know if you guys remember. In chapter 6, the prayers, these saints that would have been martyred, they was like, when you going to avenge our loss? When you going to avenge our lives? How long are you going to be? He kind of answered right there. Go ahead. Go ahead, read that.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled.
We're talking about those that was not sealed. They were sealed with Christ's mark on their head. Some of them gonna die. And when they die, they're gonna be in heaven. They have to fulfill. They have to fulfill certain things God had to fulfill. And then all of a sudden they're gonna be in heaven. Understand that mindset that God has. God is so wonderful when he explained it to me. Go ahead, keep going. Last one.
Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat.
This is going to happen when we're in heaven. No crime, no pain, no tears, no bills, no insurance, no electrical bill. Think about it. Think about it. When you're in heaven, there's no tears. You don't even have to lock your doors. That's the mindset I'm trying to get us to understand. We have to think like Jesus. Because the whole goal is us to get to heaven. That's why we're here worshiping God. But we want to get to heaven. But you have to get there thinking like Jesus. And you got to think, get like that. You got to study the scriptures. You got to be more noble than any other people on this earth. Research the scriptures. Because it's allowed, the Bible says it's allowed a hand in Christ out there that continue to stir and try to distract us in all kind of ways. The only way we can be proficient is understanding what God said and understanding God's goal. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, this is your opportunity. See, tomorrow is not promised. In fact, the next 10 minutes is not promised. See, we have to detect the religious lie. We must think like Jesus and know the goal and the purpose of Jesus. And to think like this, understand this, before I get ready to go. God has done his part. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf. He gave us his holy Bible to research and learn these scriptures that we can think like Jesus. Now, all we have to do is hear the word of God. Oh, man, here we go. Hear the word of God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Now, when I heard that it was preached to their hearts, how they crucified the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and Peter preached the death, the burial, and resurrection. You have to believe. The Bible tells in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So do you believe in Jesus Christ? You have to repent. I mean, turn away from your wicked ways and get on board with Christ. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 13:3, attend your date to repent. It's a right box parish. And all we have to ask you today is confess the sweetest name in the Bible, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, which is Jesus Christ. Whoever therefore confess me for men, him I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. And that's what we want to do. We want to confess Jesus right now, for Jesus confessed us for his fault. And we're baptized today. The Bible tells in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27 that many of you have been baptized. Christ has put on Christ. I'm asking you to come. Come as we sing the last song that I've been selected. Will you come today?
Let's stand together, number 902. 902.
What can wash away my sin?